Welcome back.
Last slice of this week's show. And I guess you can sum it all up with, how have we normalized all this now? I'm thinking that we've used politics and religion to replace critical thinking. What do you think?
I mean, it's definitely, they've been tools, right? Tools to group people together and also say, hey, this is what everyone else in this group believes, so you should too. Pressure. Apply pressure in group, right?
Not only bring people together, but then to divide them at the same time.
Right. Dividing just in groups. So it's just group division. It's weird.
Well, I don't participate in either at the level that we're talking about. I'm not a preacher, and I'm not a politician, but I like to harass both that are wrong. No, really, I just see in my future, I'm going to have to go through what I did in 2011 and 2012. I'm going to have to make some of these bullies cry. And picking on bullies is not a bad thing, people. Because when I pick on bullies, it's like, I remember one of the Capitol Police saying, well, you're intimidating, Mike. And I'm like, I weigh 130 pounds, man. And the people that you say I'm intimidating, you know, some of them are towering over me. They just happen to be wearing a suit and tie and really expensive shoes, and I know why they're wearing those clothes. And it seems to bother them that somebody that wears rags like I do, and my mom hates it, but I mean, the more comfortable, you know, especially when it gets hot. This little Bernie shirt here with the holes, and, you know, this is perfect for, say, a 90-degree or 100-degree day. But until then, I'm still going to wear it. When it's cold, I'd put, you know, something with sleeves on underneath it. But I'm anticipating turning the temperature up the same, you know, as long as the temperature on the dial goes up, I'm going up, man. We got a lot going on in Wisconsin, and there's a lot to fight for. Nature is another thing that, you know, is taking the brunt of, oh, you know what? I lost my way to take the call, so I'll leave that to you. Unless I what? There it is, right there. So, who is it, Albert? You say?
It's Al from Milwaukee. Yep.
Al, thanks for listening.
What's happening, young man?
Hey, you know, it's another day.
I've been catching bits and pieces of the show today, but when you start talking about how old you are, I got you by 17.
Hey, you know, so, that's where a lot of my friends in Milwaukee are, you know, happen to be men that are older than me, and I'm taking lessons from them.
Well, I'm just saying, we haven't got to that point yet, because when people ask me how old I am, I'm 29. See, back in 69, when Janis Joplin sang that song at Woodstock, and when you hit 30, you're over the hill, I'll never get to the top of that hill.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I'm living
so
right now.
I'll be 29 forever.
And I didn't grow up. That's the key to it all. They say, you know, to get into heaven, you have to remain a child. And I know that I am a child because I'm having a blast with my grandchildren now.
Well, no, you've actually grown up. You've passed a whole lot of people that are older than you.
Ooh.
See, maturity does not come with age.
Well, that's the first time I've been accused of being mature.
Well, I'm saying, well, right. Some of what you're saying is very mature, and a whole lot of people that you're talking about are very immature,
yeah.
Even though they may be older than you.
Yeah, they definitely are not the cream of the crop, and they're just not, they don't represent us, they just don't have a heart and a soul like I do, and I don't know how they lost that. You know, human beings are born.
Something you just said brought something back to me about a game show I saw the other day where a young man said he's in his senior year studying political science at the University of Wisconsin, and he'll be graduating sometime soon. But they asked him what he wanted to do, and he said he wanted to work on political campaigns. And when you look at the politicians that people have put in office, you just stated that, you know, who do they represent? That's a good question. Are they representing the textbook? Are they representing their families? Or are they representing the people who elected them? And most of the people that we have in office Unfortunately, and it's not a color issue, because we've got a lot of people of color falling in the same mode, is that they don't represent anybody that put them in office.
You nailed
it. They represent money.
You nailed it. And
they represent money.
I'm glad you said that, because you look at South Carolina, and the Republicans have a black senator, Tim Scott, and the Democrats have a black congressman in James Clyburn. And both of them make my blood boil, because they've never stood up for the people that they supposedly represent, and it breaks my heart, because we have access if they would just go with us.
Well, we've got a situation in Milwaukee where, for the first time since I've been here for 56 years, and we've got a majority minority aldermanic group, and you got 17 people. 9 of them are minorities.
That's awesome.
Both African-American and Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
But they're worse than the people that they took the place of.
Oh.
They won't come together and do anything outside of what the mayor says he wants done. You've got a black city attorney. You've got a black county executive. You've got African-American police chief and sheriff, and nothing has changed for the minority community and the majority of the city.
No, I agree.
This is, you know, and then when you look at the legislature in Madison, you've got 3 or 4 people who represent the people of color, and then you've got a bunch of fools, and God only knows who they represent. They represent the picture on the dollar bill. So I just wanted to express that, because you're right on target with what you're saying. And when you talk about bullying, I do this for middle schools and high schools. I teach bullying. I used to be one when I was a kid in the streets of Detroit, but I'm a big man. And I told them, anytime you run into a bully, challenge them, because most of them are nothing but blowhards, and they have nothing to back up all of that yang that comes out of their mouth. And they're afraid of people. And that's why they do that, to try and distract people from focusing on them. So,
Excellent, young man.
You have a good day.
Thank you, Al. And you hit it right on the head when you talk about the bullies right there. It's just like the one we had in my class. And you're right. It was because they had to be a bully, because otherwise people would see them for what they really were. And sad part is that they weren't bad. It's just they had a really bad view of themselves. And that's what a lot of people do. And that's why they take it out on other people. Like, it's just, it's hard to get through to people to say, just be who you are, man. Because, you know, I know people from all walks of life, all different shapes, sizes, colors, creeds, everything. And what's in a person's heart and soul, what's in their eyes when you're talking to them, that's what makes people beautiful. It's not whether you have a perfect body, or you have all this money and wealth and power. Those are the small things. I thought we understood that, you know, in order to see this next life where we can all be free of this, because I don't think we ever will be. I've been here 60 years, and it hasn't changed yet. And I've heard people make promises, and I've seen people go in that I expected. I knew them, you know. I marched with them, and then they take office, and just like Al says, they all of a sudden they're not with the people they were walking through the street with. They're walking with that systemic racism, whether they want to believe it or not. That's until you go all the way left, like I want. We're going to have racism. We're going to have inequality. There's going to be this class system. You'd think after some of the history books actually taught us that we shouldn't be this way, and then all of a sudden the rest of the history books, when you get closer and closer to where we are now, they had to lie. They had to lie about how this country was established, because it was already here before they came here. It was already established as a really beautiful place to be, apparently. And you'd have to be in denial as well if you didn't realize that all the way back in the beginning of time of man, they've been fighting each other. Cro-Magnons and Neanderthals fought each other. sad to say we came from them, but maybe that explains all of this. I don't know, but I'm planning on doing some things, you know, that are just more positive as well in between. Like, well, I guess this is positive. I go to the zoo, and even though I wish, you know, all those animals were free, I talk to them, and I think they hear me, and it's just nice. They have someone that cares about them. Every animal I see, I feel that way. And I try to do that with people, too. And sometimes people don't respond the same way. If you're trying to say hello or hi, and they're just where they are, and they don't want anybody else to talk to them. But the only way I know how to defeat this system that we live in right now is to stand up against it. And more people need to come with. It really is a lot of fun going to the Capitol. You don't have to be a wacko or anything. In fact, I don't even think the police, they've said to me, you know, you're really not that crazy. Ah, thank you for saying that, because I would have never known that otherwise, right? Anyway, thanks for listening. Another thing, I'd really like to promote the show 6 to 7 at night, Native Roots Radio. It's pulling me closer to reality. I want some of that culture to come back. Thanks again for listening.